Jacksonville, Johnson 17, and who has more ideas about the Great Society probably than anyone else that I know of.
Specifically, would you object if we hide him in the ELB and begin using him
for just that purpose?
No, but I think the best place to hide him is defense. I think McNamara is the most popular man in government, and I think he's hit better with him than he has ever to White House. He becomes a whipping boy like Tommy Corcoran and Ben Cohen.
That is a risk, I grant you that.
And there's no question about it. He'll be the number one whipping boy, and he looks like he's in heat to get whipped.
You don't have the objection to our using him, though.
Not at all. I'd like to use him everywhere in the world I could, and I'd like for McNamara to make him his top man and lend him to me like Dick Goodwin's lent to us by state. But I'd like for if he got sense enough to stay out of the papers. I've got people, the trouble is most of them just got to run getting the papers about what they did. That's what I don't like about Buzz. He's been backgrounding people for 2 weeks about writing some speech here. Let me see, the Mormon Tabernacle speech. And he never has got caught up with it yet. He's just been so busy with appointments telling them. And Mac Kilduff, when he fills a teleprompter, he goes out and calls a press conference. Said, I've got a press conference here now. I won't tell you that I filled a teleprompter here. And about 45 minutes later, and if they just keep their big mouth shut, it'd be so much more valuable. But they're not. I don't know why. And I don't know about Yarmolinsky in that respect. I thought that Yarmolinsky bound to have had something to do with that plaque that we got. On the other thing, because I just didn't believe Shriver could be that hypocritical. Shriver called me and told me that here's what he was recommending. And I just agreed to his recommendation. The next day I saw Shriver was home in bed and asleep, and his wife and the priest around him, and he was purified, and I was a damn thug that did the dirty work. And I knew Bobby could do that, but I didn't think Shriver would do that. So I just don't know. I don't know about Yarmolinsky. I think he's competent, but I don't want to get so overboard with him that I ruin him, and I think he damn near ruined himself in this fight, which was totally unnecessary. He just didn't need to get involved in that debate up there at all. He didn't need to be up there with the radio corps, and that's a big problem with both Buzz and Dick Goodwin. Dick has been a little better about it, but he got to come up to Jack's office, sit on parade, watch everybody, hold a speech in his hand, and tell them about what all he's doing on it. And destroys a good deal of his effectiveness, for the reason is that a roll of Evans then will say, here's what he's doing, and then the farmers will move in on him, and he'll get chewed up. And the man that's got a passion for anonymity usually is the man that comes out on top. If you want to see how to run Washington, if you all just want to know the pitfalls and learn the par excellence, just look at Mr. Clark Clifford. He will not be on the record. He will not be seen with the president. He doesn't even want to play golf with him. He's willing to be with him every hour of the day and advise him every night. He won't ask a favor of him. And he just stays in the background. And when you say, won't you go over to the party and give some advice, he says, well, I will do anything that you want me to, but let me tell you the reasons why it's so much better that John Bailey do it.
In fact, I think Clark agrees that he's been somewhat hurt by the fact that the press got out that he had tried to help Walter that day.
I think it has.
It's a pity he would admit this himself.
Well, he is tremendously valuable, and I would say on many of these things, and especially when you get to the question of appointments that are not the kind that Ralph Duncan's office handles, I think Clark points at the city.
On strategy, on general policy, on right or wrong, or how things will be accepted, there's just not anybody that's equal to him, and I differ with him frequently, but...
He doesn't mind your differing, he doesn't talk about it.
He is the best. But just follow his example if we can get the Yarmolinskys to do it. If you put him in EOB, I'm afraid he'll just be right over there like a little rat terrified.
We hear your message, and I cannot tell you that I think that it's risk-free, because he's both in terms of people having a zeroing on him and in terms of his ego, it is not.
The third one is that we wanted to take this opportunity to give the highest possible recommendation to Lee White.
Mike feels that way, and I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
He is chasing to lead. He should, and he was chasing before this, however, but he should be prevailed upon if at all possible to stay here, and if not, we ought to try to keep him in the government. Awfully good man. You think so? You think so?
I think we've got
that. He's a man of absolutely first-rate character.
Yes, I think he has character and loyalty, and I don't think he's exceptional in ability, but I think he's good, and I think we ought to keep him there, and I think can we adjust these pay scales and give him a little more responsibility and give him a little...
Yes, we got to tend to this pocket of poverty in the White House for
us, well, so busted. We'll do it now as soon as we can, and we just... the only reason we have him is the man that was handling all administrative matters. He wasn't my greatest counselor. I never talked to him about Cambodia, but... He was a wonderful person, and he was watching the administrative thing, and we just waited left election. But our story's got to be that he just got mixed up in this, and everybody sympathized with him, and we just didn't press our individual cases, and it can all be retroactive for July.
Sure. That's really all I
have.
Thank you.
All right. I'd take Yarmolinsky. McNamara may kick over his heel, but
I'll talk to Bob.
My general feeling is that if you could ever get yourself to where you could get you some real good riders in number that would do things. I think Buzz comes up with an A and then a C, and then more frequently an F because he doesn't get it to you. So I want to urge him to stay if he can, but I don't want to be, I haven't got any time to spend a lot of stuff with him, but I'd try to get the good ones and I'd try to get any
I
other.
I would let Buzz follow his own information. Make it be his decision, but I don't believe he's ever going to be the kind of fellow that will grind out honors work day in, day out in terms of working as a member of a staff.
Hey, a lot of those damn little old techie statements, though, that he's been writing.
That's different, Mr. President, and if you were going to be happy doing those little statements, that would be fine, but that's a hell of a way to spend your life, and I don't think you'll do that.
Well, who's going to do it?
Well, there are people who can do that. I think Holman can do that kind of thing.
Who?
Fred Holborn does the written ones that you never see. Probably signs your name to a message to some collection of Polish voters.
We'll work on finding some young.
I think you've got to get younger people and they got to be team players. If you're dealing with a man who's an old, old friend of yours, and he's not about to be Bill's second assistant.
One other point I have on my desk here, Hodges' resignation. Dated the 30th, he wanted me to know, let you know that he feels this is what he really wants to do and has to do, and he said you can announce it anytime you want to.
Don't you want resignation, Mr. President?
Yeah, I do.
This one is not just perfunctory. This one was brought to me four or five days ago, dated October 30th.
Well, I feel awfully close to all that cabinet for sentimental reasons, Kennedy and other things. I want to be damn sure they want to resign before I want them to go, and I think they've all been outstandingly loyal.
The man that talked to me about this the other day is Doug Dillon.
Well, now, he's not as if not going to go. We just can't spare him.
Well,
what does he want to do?
His father is 82. I suppose the Dillon family interests are worth $250 million, and there's no one in charge. There hasn't been anyone in charge in 12 years. He's the only man in his generation. Mother died, and his father is dying, and he feels that he's got to go and see him. I said to him that I thought it was just terrible to have him go, that he broke up a winning club, but the Treasury had never had better leadership. That's an additional, very powerful danger here, which is that Rosa, the defender of the dollar, is about to go. Rosa is probably, in a technical sense, more indispensable than Dillon. Without any question, the grand slam new rocking of how the hell you defend the dollar. And between them, they've made a hell of a team, because Douglas is not just a front man, he's a real leader. very difficult department. Strong man. There's only one man in the government that can even come close to persuading him to stay, and that's yourself.
Well, I just got to do it, because I sure don't want to lose him. And I've been hearing this mouthing around. I guess that's been coming from him.
It has nothing to do with dissatisfaction in the administration, or a lack of sense of confidence, or a lack of respect, loyalty, and affection for you. It's a genuine, internal, personal thing, which I only found out the other day when you were sitting around waiting for you to take off. And I know the family well. I know something about this background. The old gentleman, the fellow at Greenway and Harvard. This all rings true to me. Way in the world to persuade him to stay is if you persuade him.
Well,
there are some other angles to it that I hope to talk to you about in the next few days sometime, but that's it. That's the sound of it.
Well, I'm gonna have you got anybody cutting at him in government?
I don't think so.
Of course, this is like a third stringer saying something to the first team quarterback, but you don't need it said, but the most important one from the standpoint of your public image is the Attorney General appointment. It's got to be a man of unquestionable integrity. Everyone said, well, that's exactly the one he should have put there. And that's the one that the rest of Mr. Lippman, the others, are going to be watching for. And Mr. Lippman told me this yesterday.
What do you think they'd think about Clifford?
Well, until the ones who really know, Mr. President, would think it was fine, but that goddamn day in the newspaper offices makes it, in my judgment, impossible. I think both Clark and you start with a pour out of fog and smudge on that basis that is exactly the opposite of what we need. I say that about a man that I respect anything more highly than you do. I just admire him so. Today, trying to prevent the Jenkins story from happening.
Well, don't the Lippmans and the rest of them respect him?
No question about it.
No question, they do. Although the Times, I remember, when we put him in as the head of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board, wrote a very disagreeable editorial saying he replaced the great statesman Dr. Killian by a Washington fixer, Clifford. Well, there never were two sillier remarks. A, Killian is not a great statesman, and B, Clark was just what the doctor ordered in an extremely sensitive personal job for JFK.
But this is the kind of thing we get. I mean, that's the fact of life. I think we're over, Mr. President. I think that I don't know whether Clark wants it, but I think that he is more valuable to you doing what he's doing.
My judgment is he doesn't want it, wouldn't have it, but I think you could make him, and I don't know of anybody else that I feel has the balance between the North and the South that would enforce the law, but would do it with moderation and a judgment that would permit it to be enforced. And I just think that takes a lot of political savvy and walking a tightrope. And with Georgia going the way it does, with the Russells and folks of that type that are going to control the Congress, Russell's going to be chairman of appropriations.
Let me throw one out that I got from nowhere. What would you think the bill works?
I would think very highly of him. I don't think he's a better man in the cabinet, and I like him. I like him very much where he is. I thought he did a wonderful job in the campaign. I don't think he has a political savvy to deal with this bunch of thugs, and I think that's the big problem. I think Katzenbach has more of it. He has done a remarkable job dealing with Eastland and Russell and those people.
They could do worse than me.
Yes, I think so.
A lot of people who are. That would have an advantage in silencing, not having silenced ineffective